From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Reports from the Democratic Republic of Congo say at least 200 people are dead and another 100 injured after a tanker truck carrying fuel overturned and exploded. NPR's Afebi Quist-Arkton explains what happened.
The Red Cross in Congo's eastern South Kivu province said a tanker truck transporting fuel flipped over and burst into flames while people approached the overturned vehicle. South Kivu's governor, Marcelin Chisambo, was quoted saying many people were killed trying to siphon leaking fuel from the tanker, but he said others were killed indoors watching a World Cup match. Initially, the United Nations reported that a number of its peacekeepers had died trying to keep people away from the tanker, but later corrected the statement, saying none of its troops were killed. The governor said the accident happened on the road between Kivu's provincial capital Bukavu and Uvira, near Congo's southern border with neighboring Burundi. Ofebia Quist-Arkton, NPR News.
The top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, General David Petraeus, is warning of a tough mission ahead.
As many of us celebrate this 4th of July, continents apart from family and loved ones, I want to close by thanking each and every one of you for your commitment to seeing this mission through and for the sacrifice that that has entailed.
Petraeus was speaking at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul a day after arriving to take command of U.S. and NATO forces. Businesses along the Gulf Coast are worried about tourism this Independence Day weekend. Mark Royster works in the tourism industry in Gulf Shores, Alabama. He says businesses are hurting because of BP's oil spill.
It's going to be a real bad one for all the ones that's got stores and businesses. See, this is supposed to be one of our busiest weekends that we ever have, and this is where a lot of the stores make their money, is on this weekend.
Cleanup efforts have resumed, meanwhile, in the Gulf. Now that Hurricane Alex is out of the picture, rough seas caused by the storm had complicated things. Senate Republican leaders are lining up to oppose the nomination of Solicitor General Elena Kagan to the Supreme Court. Here's NPR's Nina Totenberg.
As the Senate left town for the July 4th recess, Republican Senate leaders began announcing they would vote against Kagan. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said he would vote against her confirmation, and so did former Judiciary Committee Chairman Orrin Hatch of Utah, as well as Alaska's Lisa Murkowski and Oklahoma's James Inhofe. Supreme Court confirmations have become increasingly partisan in recent years. In 2005, half the Democrats voted for Bush nominee John Roberts, but the next year, only 4 Democrats supported President Bush's nomination of Samuel Alito. Last year, only 9 Republicans voted for Obama nominee Sonia Sotomayor, and of those, 4 had announced they were retiring from the Senate. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
And from Washington, this is NPR News. The Pacific Northwest's most notorious organized crime boss has died. NPR's Martin Coste has more from Seattle on the man whose crime record dates back to President Franklin Roosevelt's administration.
93-year-old Frank Colacurcio was old school. He got his start back in the 50s, skimming cash from jukeboxes and pinball machines. In later years, he branched into nightclubs, eventually becoming Seattle's strip club king. Federal and local investigators have been on his case for half a century, sending him to jail for racketeering in the 70s and tax fraud in the 80s. At its peak, Colacurcio's network extended to 10 western states, including strip clubs that were alleged to be fronts for prostitution. Just last year, Colacurcio and his son, Frank Jr., were once again indicted, and as part of the plea bargain, they gave up their last remaining strip clubs. Seattle U.S. Attorney Jeff Sullivan called Colacurcio's death, quote, the end of an era, hopefully one that won't be repeated. Martin Coste, NPR News, Seattle.
Outside Seattle, authorities are resuming the search today for a climber who's gone missing on Mount Rainier. Searchers have found a backpack and a shovel so far, but no sign of 57-year-old Eric Lewis of Duval, Washington. Lewis was climbing with 2 others when he went missing Thursday afternoon. A Los Angeles jury deliberating in the trial of a white former Bay Area Rapid Transit officer who shot an unarmed black man will not resume its work until Tuesday because of the holiday weekend. The case was moved to L.A. because of racial unrest in Oakland. Johannes Messerly pleaded not guilty in the death of Oscar Grant, who was shot when officers responded to a fight at a train station on New Year's Day 2009. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.